Well, hi everybody. I'm sure you've worked out by now. Oh, am I too loud? You've worked out by now I'm not Clive. And it was his week to preach. And I know those of you who are here last week, he was busting to preach, wasn't he? When he hosted last week, he said that he'd got it all prepared and he said he could have preached it there and then if we'd let him. So the leadership just felt that it was too good a sermon, we couldn't let it go. So hopefully I'm going to try and deliver it for him. And Clive, if you're listening, he said to me, he sent a message through Mary and said, enjoy it. So I'm going to enjoy it. I hope you will too. So in the sixth and seventh chapters of the book of Judges, we find the familiar story of Gideon, who was called a mighty man of valor. Now, you remember that Gideon was in a pit threshing corn, and he must have thought, who else is in here with me? Who is he talking to? It can't be me. I'm not a man of valor. I'm just hiding from the Midianites. You know that the Midianites had gone all over the country. They'd taken their food and their crops, and they were really, it was almost famine what the Midianites were doing to them. And so Gideon felt very far from a man of valor. But God could see the potential in him. And that's an important message for us all, because God can see the potential in all of us. And it reminds me of David. Remember King David, when Samuel was sent to Jesse's family looking for the new king? And Jesse brought out all his sons, and one by one, God said, no, that's not them. And then Samuel said, aren't there any more? And Jesse said, well, there's a lad out in the field, bring him in. And when David came, Samuel had word from God, this is the one. He is a man after my own heart. And this is the same with Gideon. God could see the potential. Gideon couldn't see it. Nobody else could, but God could. Because who was Gideon? He was just a farmer's son. He didn't have any special training. He had absolutely no thought of leading Israel's army into battle. I mean, he was just a young man. He probably hadn't even picked up a weapon in his life. He didn't have any weapon training. He didn't have any tactics. In fact, he thought he was very much a nobody. He said to the angel who called him the mighty man of valor, he said, but I'm the least in my tribe, and my tribe is the least in Judah. So, you know, what are you doing with me? I'm not your man. But God said, yes, you are. Because what God wanted, as Clive mentions, he wanted a willing vessel. Because we are vessels of clay, but God's Holy Spirit is in us. And so God wanted a willing vessel that is broken and powerless without him. And more than anything else, the story today is about God's faithfulness to his people, who were notoriously unfaithful to him. And we see that lots in scripture, don't we? When the people were unfaithful, they got into trouble, they cried out to God, he sent them someone to help them. And so now he's doing that yet again. But God will wait. God waits for us to drain us of all our resources, to use up all our abilities, to exhaust our strength, and when we come to the end of our rope, then he comes in and helps us. That's with Gideon. Gideon had no hope of doing what God said he was going to do, but God was going to work through him. And Clive says, he has placed his spirit within our hearts, and we are held captive inside an imperfect clay vessel, a perfect Lord living inside an imperfect clay vessel. And then this is a personal note from Clive, and he says, as he contemplated this passage over recent weeks, when he's been so weak and so unwell, I saw afresh how the Lord deals with his people, and Gideon in particular, in order to effectively deliver and rescue his people. God deals firstly with pride, secondly shows his supreme patience, and thirdly shows the measure of his true power. And so Benny has got some headings for me, because Clive's sermon is in three headings: the danger of pride, God's infinite patience, and the revelation of true power. So let's go back and start with the danger of pride. Because Gideon has gathered an army of 32,000 to fight the Midianites. And again, here Clive's done his research, because apparently the Midianites and all their allies, they amounted to 135,000. The Bible says they were like locusts. They were like camels, and there were so many of them that it was like all the sand on a beach. So Gideon's already outnumbered, grossly outnumbered, and yet God says to him, you've got too many soldiers. God did not want the people of Israel to say, we did it in our own strength. He wanted them to know at the end of this battle, at the end of this victory, that victory was the Lord's, that he was going to use them, but it was the power of the Lord that would bring the victory. So, too large. God said, tell anybody who's frightened to go home. So Gideon, who already feels his army is very small compared to the enemy, has to watch as 22,000 men go home. And then he's thinking, 10,000 men? What is God doing? God shocks him again. He said, you've still got too many. Wow. Take them down to the river. Watch how they drink. That must have been quite a task in itself. 10,000 men to drink from the river. And as he watched them, God said that those that kneel down, don't choose those. The ones you want are the ones that are going to lap the water with their hands. And I read in a commentary that they suggested that the people who knelt down didn't have protection on their back. They weren't seeing what was happening around them, whereas those that were lapping were keeping an eye, protecting their back, seeing what was happening. As a child, I always used to think that was sort of like an SAS type test. But Clive says here again, well, they still weren't really elite troops. They still really had to depend on God. And he says that's the same for us. Sometimes we rely on ourselves, and we need to rely on God. And you know, once long ago when I was at Spring Harvest, a friend went to a seminar on prophecy. And when she came back to our cabin, she was sort of getting verses for everybody around us. And I was thinking, oh, crumbs, it's going to be me soon. And it was. The next morning at breakfast, she presented me with this lovely piece of paper. It has some lovely writing on it. But the message that came through to me was, confidence in yourself is not enough. And I thought, ouch. But it's true. And it was right. And I had to accept it. We can depend on ourselves. So often we go through everything and we only come to God when we're at the end of our tether. But he wants us to know that he is the power in our life. So Gideon's story of the 300 shows that if we want God's experience, God's grace and power in our lives, then it begins with humility. And again, when you think of characters in the Bible, think of Moses. He was the most humble of men. King David, he was a great king, but when he did wrong things, at least he had the grace to come back to God and accept God's judgment on him. And again, Gideon, we're starting off with humility. Gideon knew that he wasn't up to the task, but he was gradually learning that he had a God who was. So let's go to the next heading, which is God's infinite patience. So God has to bring Gideon from a very callow youth who had no confidence in himself to one who could trust God. And so first of all, right in chapter 6, God sends an angel and he calls Gideon. He puts a prophecy over him. He says, mighty man of valor. You're maybe not that now, but by the time I've finished with you, you will be. Then God allows him to make food and to put it on a rock and to pour the broth over the meat and the bread, and then it goes up in flames. And this always makes me laugh, because then Gideon suddenly realizes that it is God who's speaking to him, and he's terrified because he thinks he's met the living God and he's going to die. And God has to say to him, no, you're not going to die, you're okay. And then God is patient in allowing Gideon to grow through the episode of the two fleeces. First, fleece is going to be wet and the land around it's dry, and then the other way round. And even Gideon is sort of saying, you know, please don't be cross with me, God, but I really do need a bit more assurance. I really do need to know that you're with me. And the last time that he reassures him is when he actually sends him down into the enemy camp. So Gideon is certainly gaining strength now, because I think that's pretty scary. I don't think I would want to go down into the Midian camp a night before the battle. But God sends him to the tent of a Midianite who's having a dream. And the dream and that interpretation show that God has given the Midianites into the hand of the Israelites. And Clive says that God isn't upset with Gideon's lack of faith, but is infinitely patient with him because he knows Gideon's weaknesses. This shows us that when we feel weak and filled with doubt, that God is still patient with us. Hallelujah. I wonder how many times the Lord has proved himself to be faithful to you and me, but we have still doubted. No matter how weak our faith might be, the Lord is continually reminding us of his faithfulness to fulfill his promises. What an amazing and patient God we serve. So Gideon is now being moved from somebody who has no ambition at all to lead Israel's army to somebody who is now feeling equipped through the power of God. God is nurturing him. God is supporting him. God is helping him every step of the way and telling him that he's not on his own. God is by his side. God is with him. So let's go to the third heading now, which is the revelation of true power. Now we come, we've got the 300 men, but God is actually sending them into battle without any weapons. Has that struck you before? They're going in with no weapons. God says the 300 men have to have a trumpet in one hand and a clay jar with a torch inside in the other. That is amazing. Those 300 men, they really obeyed Gideon. Gideon said to them, follow my lead, do whatever I'm going to do. And so Gideon divides these 300 men into three regiments, each with their torches and their clay jars with the light inside, and says, watch me, do what I'm going to do. And they go round the Midianite camp. They position themselves all the way around the Midianite camp. And the Bible says they stood firm. They kept their positions. And then at the middle watch of the night, and this again is absolutely amazing, because it was dark in the Midianite camp. It was the middle of the night. And suddenly, from being calm and quiet, there's movement going on. The people who are getting up and ready to take over their guard duty are going to change places with those who've been on guard duty, and they are then going to move back to their quarters. So we've got a bit of movement going on in the camp. And then all of a sudden, Gideon and his men shout. They blow their trumpets, they crack the jars so the torture shows, and they shout for God and for Gideon. And in the Midianite camp, there's chaos, there's confusion. People are coming and going, and they don't know who's who. They think the people who are coming to take over their positions are the enemy, and they start fighting themselves. Chaos ensues. Gideon's men were able to experience God's victory, power, and strength without even seemingly touching an enemy soldier themselves. God worked the victory. God dealt with the enemy. The only way this could possibly happen was by Gideon's men becoming weak. It was only as the Lord stripped away all those things Gideon might rely on in the flesh that he was able to experience God's true power and strength. True power is experienced only when you're weak. And then Clive gives the example of Paul. I think you remember that, don't you? When Paul had a thorn in his flesh, and he prayed to God and said, God, please remove this thorn from my side. And God said, no, my grace is sufficient for you. And that's what we need to learn as well. God's grace is sufficient for us. Inside of us is the greatest power we can ever experience, but only as we recognize our weakness, releasing God's strength in each of us, can we live the lives he intended. We are earthen vessels. Inside each of us, God has placed the light of his gospel. God's convicting power breaks our hard heart, crushes and destroys the outer shell of humanity, and makes us into a broken vessel that he can use for his glory. Then, after all the power of the flesh has been broken, his light breaks forth from inside, so that all the world can see how our lives have become a bright light in a sin-darkened world. It's time to break this vessel of clay and surrender to God. Admit our weaknesses and allow his purposes to be fulfilled through us as individuals and as a church. So remember those three headings. Remember that God is helping us to overcome the danger of pride. We can't rely on ourselves. It's through God that we have the victory. God's got infinite patience with us. He will explain things over and over again. He will reassure us over and over again, as he did to Gideon. And then the revelation of the true power. Because when we are weak, then we are strong in the Lord. So remember, our weaknesses allow God's glory to shine through. And I love this bit. Nobody is a nobody in the kingdom of God. We're all somebody. We've all got a purpose, and we've all got a reason for being in God's family. And remember Gideon. From being a nobody, from being a frightened young man, Gideon became a great leader of his people because he trusted in the power of God. So as we go through this coming week, may this story empower and encourage you and help us to serve God. So now I'm going to ask you all to stand up and sing with great gusto, "Our Confidence Is in the Lord." The source.